Yep, there's some of them. Yeah, sure.
Hello everyone. I'm just gonna make a way to start here, and that's okay. I'll just read out my rules and regulations here. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the committee should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Q if you wish to ask a question or C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. All right, folks, you're all very welcome to this committee meeting here tonight. Item one is apologies and chairperson's remarks. I have apologies here from Councillor Stokes, Councillor Taylor and Councillor Malone. I'm not sure if there's any other apologies.
Mr. Stokes is on the meeting.
Oh, I hear so. No apologies. Okay, we'll move on to item two, which is declarations of conflict of interest. Okay. Item three is the action sheet of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 17th of August 2022. We'll just go to page four, I can see. So page one, page two, and page three. Any issues arising from the action sheet? Now, can I just check these can all hear me clearly at home, can
you? Yes, Chair. Sorry. Yes, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. Okay, so item four is the fleet replacement programme.
Oh, Chair, just a proposal in a second.
Oh, sorry. Can I get a proposal in a second for the action sheet, please? It proposed by Councillor Curran in the chamber and seconded by Councillor Martin. Item four is the fleet replacement program update. Sinead, you're taking that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to provide an update to members on the progress that's been made to deliver new vehicles through the fleet replacement program and the disposal of their vehicles. So members will be aware that following the procurement through the Yorkshire Purchasing Organisation framework, orders were placed with preferred suppliers in April 2022. For the 17 vehicles identified as requiring priority replacement by the 31st of March 2022. The estimated delivery for each replacement vehicle is detailed in Appendix 1 and summarised in the table below. It's estimated that at the point of the order that the delivery ranged between from 16 to 78 weeks. The update is that three scooters have been delivered to Greenbank Depot and for some vehicles delivery dates have been brought forward with expected delivery for two 26-ton and 432 Town Records Collection Day for Friday, November 2022. Following the approval of the Upper Business Case approval in April, procurement of lift vehicles has commenced and tender evaluation has recently concluded. It is anticipated that one business case for this vehicle will be filed through September 2022. Work is continuing to identify the next set of vehicles that are in excess of their economic life, and 40 vehicles have been identified, approximately half of these being small vans. Specifications for small vans have been drafted with either diesel or electric as the main power source, with the exact numbers to be determined in upcoming committee meeting, and business vehicles will be brought forward for approval. Some 19 vehicles, which were beyond their economic repair, were disposed of by a contractor, but scrap metal value being approved to the capital budget. And one of the 4.5 tons vehicles have been reallocated to the Green Land Depot to Stratford Road Depot, and the completion of the district tax review. The manager asked to note the content of the report.
Okay, thanks, Sinead. If there's anyone whose sound is unclear when you're speaking to me, I don't know if that's an issue or. We carry on. Can you hear me okay again?
Yes, you're fine on that, but it just, Sinead, just, you think you had marbles in her mouth, so you would have couldn't make her out.
Oh. We try and sort it out here, Jim.
All right, thanks.
All right, we have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews, and you have a comment as well.
Yes, I'm just happy that the proposal we know the contents of the report. I'd like to thank Sinead and the team for the
Forgive me if my maths isn't 100%, but by my maths, there's 72 vehicles there that are coming in as such, and then I think 75 vehicles to be replaced. I was just curious, is that factored in okay? I mean, wouldn't it be a like replacing like, and I presume there's sort of areas, you know, that are needed to maybe to be bulked up, reinforced, and maybe some of these more things are more efficient. So I was just sort of wondering if that just what the logic behind that was, Chair. Sorry, thank you.
Okay,
Andrew,
Andrew,
thanks, Chair. Yeah, the original replacement schedule was actually for 73 vehicles, like for like. One of them was a new one, there was no tender return for that, so that's where the 72 comes from. Additionally, as Sinead said, there were subsequently three hook lift vehicles approved for replacement, and that's where the 75 comes from. So the original batch was 73, of which 72 are in order, and there's a further three which have gone through the tender evaluation and should be ordered by the end of the month, Chair.
Yeah, thanks for that, Andrew. Welcome the
early delivery of some of the vehicles, because when this was first meted to this committee about the fleet replacement, there was huge fears among everybody that the delivery date for these vehicles would outstay what is needed out in our district and the urgency of that. So did that trend still continue with the rest of the deliveries that are coming earlier than expected? So that's pretty good news for the council.
Thank you. Can I possibly get a seconder for item 4? Seconded by Councillor McKellar. Thank you. Okay, we move on to item 5, which is the Household Recycling Centre Usage and Access Policy. And this is Sinead coming back to respond to Councillor Hannah's motion. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check that you can hear me okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chair has alluded to, the purpose of the paper is to present the options available following the motion of notice at last month's committee meeting. Members will be aware that in August 2019, a number of policies governing access to and usage of the council HRCs were agreed with the primary purpose of standardising waste acceptances at the 10 HRC sites across the district and also to reduce the amount of non-recyclable residual waste being received and processed through the facilities. These policies did include a restriction of access for vehicles greater than 1.95 metres high and 3.5 metres gross tons at non-commercial HRC sites, with vans less than 1.95 metres high and 3.5 tonnes to be managed by the permit system. It also gave access to vehicles greater than 1.95 metres high and 3.5 tonnes at non-commercial HRCs to be managed by a permit system at the sites. The implementation of the permit system was delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and as part of the control measures implemented cash handling densities at the sites. Therefore, charge of commercial site waste is currently not accepted at the HRC sites. While recycled materials such as cardboard are freely accepted. At the August 2022 committee, members did report a number of issues linked with the closure of the height restriction barriers, and these included access by disabled vehicle users, residents not being able to access the HRC sites, vehicles greater than 1.95 metres to dispose of domestic waste, and the implementation of the system to accept commercial waste. Clarification was provided at the committee meeting that any blue badge holders would be given full access to the site at any time. A bulky waste collection service is also available to assist local householders with the removal of up to 5 bulky items to be collected, and the service is to be booked in advance by the council. The opening hours of the HRC sites are currently under review, and it's anticipated that this review will be concluded and a report brought to committee for approval in Order 3 of 2022-23. The report, the paper here highlights some of our recycle targets and how we're currently performing, and it's critical for the council to review all these management issues to ensure that we can impact on our recycling rates. The following options then have been considered in relation to the height restrictions at the council HRC site. So option one being no change to the current barrier system. Option two is to introduce an online booking system to allow access by residents disposing of personal waste and vehicles greater than 1.95 metres high across the sites, and no change for the commercial users of the sites. Option three is introducing an online booking system as an option two, with the addition of developing and introducing an online booking system to allow access by commercial users disposing of commercial waste and vehicles greater than 1.95 metres high across the sites. Future options for laying commercial waste at the site must be considered to better manage cost recovery. And we will also look at reviewing current charging structure for commercial waste to be accepted, given the recent significant increases in waste disposal costs to council. Charges for acceptance of commercial waste are highlighted in Appendix 1 of the report, and it's recommended that these are charged with the third designated commercial waste RC site at Dunpatrick. Looking at considering the appraisal of these options, so for option one, it's considered that that's not meeting the needs of some of our residents to have access to vehicles of high square than 1.95 metres. However, it does seem to have a positive impact on our recycling rates. Option two will meet the needs of the residents by granting access to residents disposing of high school waste in the higher side vehicles specific pre-booked dates and times. IT development has been initiated, but the pilot system is anticipated to be available from week commencing the 10th of October. However, this option does present a risk of increased volumes of onshore recycled waste, impacting recycled waste and disposal costs, and potentially increased abuse of staff before interactions are required with site users. For the option three, in terms of household waste, is the same as option two, and the additional introduction of the commercial waste acceptance, the redevelopment and introduction of an online booking system to allow access by commercial users disposing of commercial waste across the sites. payment options are under consideration to subject technological solutions available. We're deeming the recommended option 3 as the preferred option. And then just a number of considerations. And I mentioned about the cost of waste disposal and are we set at target rate. So a key consideration is the successful recycling at the HRC site and the interaction by staff to site users is a vital part to educate and encourage separation of waste streams. Staff, as I've mentioned earlier, this role can be subjected to abuse by site users and continued support by elected members is requested to challenge that and eradicate that type of behaviour. Significant marketing and publicity for recycling is also required to promote the sets at centres of recycling excellence. And just finally, a review of council waste collection policy, including refuse collection and accepted waste at the HRC sites, is due to be undertaken. And this review will consolidate all policies that have been documented and presented to the committee for approval at a future date. So members are asked to approve option 3, which is introducing an online booking system to allow access by residents disposing of household waste in vehicles greater than 1.95 metres high across the site, and develop and introduce an online booking system to allow access by commercial users disposing of commercial waste in any vehicle greater than 1.95 metres high across the site. Future options for weighing commercial waste at sites to consider to better manage cost recovery, review current charging structure for commercial waste to be accepted at designated HRC, and then this is going to increase most of the costs to council, and then the extension of charges for acceptance of commercial waste to the designated commercial HRC sites for Dunham Patrick. Just to make reference to resource implications, so no additional financial resource implications apply of staff resource for IT development, staff training, implementation
function
system. Thank you, Chair.
Yes,
thank you, Sinead. There's a few people in here. Councillor Casey, you're in
the first. Thanks, Chair. Sinead, it's on the faulty list service. I just wonder, is the council across all of us, I've had numerous complaints in the past, this is my own personal opinion now, that people had difficulty making a booking. And when they did make their booking and paid for this service, there was an inordinate time before the service was actually delivered to them. So is there a time scale on that? Are we given a commitment that a person wants to put and pay for the service, it'll be delivered within 48 hours, 72 hours, 24 hours? Can we give that commitment, Sinead? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just coming back on that, we did experience issues, significant issues with the faulty collections, particularly during COVID. I believe that's moving back on track now. We do have available slots on a weekly basis for those faulty collections, and I will review those just to see that we're not making demand in terms of what the requests are that are coming through and the slots that are available. I can come back to that to you on that.
Okay,
thanks.
Good, thank you, Sinead and Councillor
Casey.
Councillor
Lindley,
do you comment?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Sinead, for the report. Although, Chairperson, I have to tell you, I don't agree with it for a number of reasons. We're heading into very uncertain economic times, and people will see this as another taxation on top of the rates that we already pay throughout the district. And, I mean, if people would be of the viewpoint, Chair, that what do you get for the rates they pay? This is one of the services, but it's an ever-decreasing list of services that people will throw back at you and say, what actually are we paying £2,500 or £3,000 a year rates for? So, the other thing is to Chairperson, same example being what's going on in all the councils at the moment with strike action. Whenever you put barriers in front of people to discourage them or hinder them, from going to HRCs or disposing of rubbish. In other words, when you make it anyway, owners for them at all, they take the easy option, which is fired at the side of the road. And we all seen in all the districts how quickly the place can turn into a bit of a kip. So those are the main reasons, Chairperson, why I would be of the view that we go with option one, which is to leave things as they are. Bearing in mind all that Sinead has said, and I am conscious too of the verbals that staff do take on these matters at the HRC sites, but councillors also take verbals from customers who cannot get access for whatever reason. So we're certainly are not immune to the criticism that happens when people are refused entry. So I wouldn't be changing anything to make it more onerous or more expensive on the ratepayers at the minute. And I would propose that we go with option one if we can get a second.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley, just a couple of points for clarification. There is a charge on the bulk paper collection service, but it's cost recovery cost, and it's highlighted in the report there. In relation to domestic waste coming to our HRC sites and proposal here in terms of option part one of options two and three, there's going to be no charge associated with our residents taking their domestic waste to the HRC sites. It's a booking system that will be free of charge, so just going to clarify that point. And the option two, in the second part in option three, which is introducing the commercial waste back into the sites, we're statutory obliged to charge for that under the regulations. So just wanted to clarify those two points. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Sinead. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'd just like to mention you for the reports, for the report that you get back with. That's exactly what we asked at the last meeting, and that's what we've got. Option one, you know, is not an option because really it doesn't address, you know, what was in the motion. The issue of, you know, leaving it as it is means the barrier remains where it is, and the people with disabilities or people with higher vehicles than the norm, you know, still can't get access, so we're still back to square one. I think option three for me would be the best option, just with one wee proviso that, you know, online probably works for most people, that is, but not necessarily for everybody. And just to review it at some later stage, maybe, you know, that if some people can't do it online, that there is the option when they can phone in. But I'd like to make very clear, you know, and I know speaking on behalf of my colleagues, is that the abuse that the staff take in some of these sites is just totally and absolutely unacceptable. I obviously spoke, in light of Glenn's motion, I spoke to some of the staff at the local recycling centre, you know, between Canada and Westbrook, and that's when I became aware just the level of abuse that some people take, particularly from some of the ones that were, you know, dumping commercial waste, you know, thinking that, you know, while the ratepayers pay for the dumping of the domestic, the guys that can afford it, you know, thought that they could get in through the back door, which is unacceptable. That's why the barriers were coming in the first place. You know, so that type of abuse, totally unacceptable. If I think it is, you know, the duty of all councillors to play their part to try and ensure that our staff aren't either fairly abused or threatened at these sites or at any place of work within this council. Thanks, Chair Anshley.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Hannah, because it was your motion, I know you're not on the committee, but I'm going to take them in the order that they're on the system here. So, Councillor Hannah, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Just, I was going to say I'm not on the committee, so I didn't want to hold Andrew McMurray back. Just on this, I'm sort of disappointed in what has come back. Sinead, to be quite honest with you, as I suggested at the last meeting, I think that we've got a fudge back in that the height restrictions are getting no benefit whatsoever. I actually think all they're doing is going to create hassle, so they are. I have another question for you, Sinead. Why did you pick 1.95 metres instead of 2.1, the same as the standard jar park? It's just a question for you. Why did you pick that? I'm all right to continue. I thought somebody was trying to cut across me. The second thing is, just on that, Sinead, you're talking about vans and all this commercial waste coming in. Have you done any surveys or have you any evidence to support that this has been happening? Because I'm not aware of very much of it. There would be occasionally some fellow would chance his arm and go in and out, and maybe those who do a lot of grass cutting would be in and out maybe 5 or 6 times a day. I'm disappointed in it in general, Sinead, because some sort of an indication, and that would be a good idea. It's just height there that it's required to go in and out instead of creating like a confrontational type situation. Just on the IT system and the booking system, has anybody did any costings on that there to see how much that's going to be? Because I assume this is going to be a completely new system. I know you are talking about trialing it next month. I was just wondering, was there any costings done on it at all? It would probably take a couple of people to maybe operate it. It's just the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I think you should come up with a better solution than this, there, to be quite honest. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Should I be from Bethel? Yes, thank you, Chair. In addition to the 1.95 metres, that is the height that was agreed at the 2019 committee in relation to the height and the 2.1 metres. The 1.95 was the guidance at that time in 2019, Councillor Hannah, and that's where that came from the guidance document. In relation to frequency of commercial vehicles coming in into the site, we have regular feedback from staff in relation to users coming in pre the barriers closing, users coming in commercial type vehicles, and users that are promoting services where they're collecting waste on behalf of users, which is trying to commercial not coming into the site. So there is quite a bit of feedback from staff in relation to commercial type vehicles coming in that have had to be turned away from the site. And I suppose pre-COVID commercial waste and what the report is recommending is that the pre-COVID arrangement, which was that we accept commercial waste and we accept payment for commercial waste, that we reintroduce that, but just in a better way. In relation to the cost for the systems that are being introduced are there's no cost to the council for those. They're utilising current IT software that's available to the council, and it'll be a matter for the resident to go onto the website and put their details into a form, and that is all but one going to automatically generate the booking. So there's no additional cost for the system or for staff with that. Thank you.
Just could I follow up just for one more question on it? Just, I would have doubts about the reliability on that booking system, to be quite honest with you, because a lot of people would do things on the spur of the moment, would actually go to the amenity site, so that's pretty much curtailing all that activity now, so it is. Anybody with slightly, because I know I have a Jeep there, and it definitely will not fit in underneath 1.5 metres, so that's me cut out. I can't use that Jeep now, so I can't to get in without going away and booking it, so I do. So it's really, to be quite honest with you, I think the whole thing's bad.
Was there a question in that section, Councillor Hannah, or are you just making a comment?
Just more or less a comment, to be quite honest with you. I don't know, I think it's a silly situation you've got yourselves into.
Well, I think it's just going to be trial and error at this stage to come up with some sort of solution for the height restrictions. So I think we're just going to have to maybe see how it goes over a limited period and see how much demand it's actually getting. So I think we can't just dismiss it. We're going to have to try something. It's not an easy situation that we've been out in terms of commercial waste and domestic waste at the minute. So
Councillor McMurray, do you have a question?
I think I would echo the sentiments that Councillor Murphy made about the positives, while also having some of the concerns I think that Councillor Hannah maybe has about the potential negatives. I suppose just to sort of clarify on that, you know, I suppose that one of the main reasons came about by the issue of some blue badge holders. So just it does say that, but just for clarification's sake, blue badge holders do not need to pre-book for this system. They will be able to essentially turn up and have the height restriction removed. So that was sort of one question. I suppose, and then the other questions sort of follow on from that, in the sense of 1.9 over 1.95 commercial users would have to pre-book to book their slot for using commercial waste. But then, I suppose, where would that leave the private owner over a vehicle, as a la Councillor Hannah possibly, and myself, if you know, or anybody maybe who was coming back from a journey with bikes on the roof or something like that. Then again, you know, again, much has been made about the IT system, but again, we all have, or most people have, a device in their pocket, very Orwellian, that can probably link into the computer system. So I'm just wondering, I mean, might it be a possibility that, you know, you can turn up at a site and book in a slot, a 10-minute slot at that time as such? I'm just wondering how pernickety it will be, or will it require a almost like a Councillor Casey's point about the pickups, you know, how often, you know, what is the lead-in time to this, if that makes sense. So I suppose if it's sort of thing that is a fairly instantaneous system, then maybe some of these concerns might not be terribly, might be okay. But if it's something that requires a sort of 24-hour notice, then I suppose I'm not really sure if it does aid this scenario somewhat. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just to clarify the point of the blue badge holders, Councillor McMurray, yeah, absolutely no booking for the blue badge holders. They can come in directly to the site and show the badge in the bar if they open at any time during the opening hours. In relation to the IT system, this has been developed from scratch within the software systems that are available by the IT section. So it will be kept under review. We look at the demand that we have at the various sites, and if we have more demand at one site than another, we can look at that and provide more openings at particular sites if that changes. Where we are at the minute with it, we need the IT solutions at the sites. We need to be further developed if we were going to have the instantaneous bookings. So we don't have that IT development plan on our HRC sites. And this is certainly something that we've been working towards, is looking at the IT systems at the individual sites. And absolutely we'd like to be working towards an instantaneous booking system, but that's going to take time to develop to that point. So yes, it will be 24 hours notice at the moment. And if we can do anything to shorten that, we certainly will. And in relation to the similar point that was taken across the market in terms of the booking being online only, that's something that we keep under review and maybe do from the time of the number, but the crews should be necessary as well. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Shane. We'll just keep with the list that's going. I know Councillor already, you were the second of that motion, so if time's okay, as an email to him, go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Are you letting me in now?
Yeah, I'm going to let you in as seconder to the original motion, so go on ahead.
Well, thanks very much. No, I'm very, very disappointed. I seconded the notice of motion, and that's why I'm on here tonight. I thought we would have had something more substantial to work on. I just don't know where the council expects people who have legitimate waste to deposit, people who are ratepayers, because they've got a bigger van or a bigger car, you know, where does the council expect those people to deposit that waste? And I also wanted to ask about training for staff. The number of complaints I get about the way our staff behave towards the public, there's something not right there. And our staff need to have
proper training. They need to have proper ID to, so those people actually know that they are bona fide council employees that are given instructions or want to look in your bag or whatever. So there's a lot the council can do to mitigate the interface between staff and the public. But I just don't know. I just think we're creating a bureaucratic monster for little or no gain. And the stuff that is dumped up country lanes or whatever, it will cost the council more to collect it in the long run anyway. So I just think it's self-defeating what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. With respect, I think the actual option three is so most people with balance higher than 1.95 can book online and get in without any hassle. You know, we're going to have to see what way it goes. Dave has come back with an option here, and really and truly, we don't know how anything is going to work until we start and give it a go. If it doesn't work, we'll have to. This is going to be an ongoing review of how they operate the HRC. So, Shane, do you want to come back there?
That's right, I just come back in relation to your query about staff training. We have a training programme for staff that staff have worked through from induction and professional training throughout their time at the council. So that is an ongoing training programme that we would have. Just in relation to the interactions that they would have, you know, if, and I've been around the sites myself and witnessed, residents do come with bags of waste that aren't sorted, and it is part of the HRC attendant's role to speak to the resident, ask them what's in the bag, and encourage them to accept it, to recycle, and encourage them rather to put the waste into the costly residual skids, separate them out, the cans, the bottles, the plastic, and that really does make a difference in terms of the cost that it is to the council for disposing those waste, as well as making our recycle targets. In relation to the identification of staff are all identified on the site through their council branded PPE, so they're clearly identified in their high-vis Castle branded gear on the site. So just wanted to just confirm that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shane. Councillor McKevitt?
Thanks very much, Chair. Shane, for the report as well. It's nice, so just to be clear, I think the FCLP is the option three, but just to be clear, there's no charge to residents who are coming with commercial based to our not commercial waste, but household waste, there's no charge of them. They can book online when the system's set up. I can live with that. What I can't live with is the future options going in commercial waste at sites to be considered to better manage cost recovery. What do you do now at the minute when somebody's coming with a commercial waste? How do you weigh it and how do they charge? I'd like to know that. And I'll tell you the reason why. You can either do a carriageway between your aim warning points, and there's a fine example of a developer or a builder doing up two bathrooms where they've dumped on private land their tiles, their toilets, their baths, sinks, plus the cuttings that they probably had to do on their sods right across to get some form of piping, and they must have done a great job, but they've done a fabulous job of dumping it. And when you go to report that, which a resident in the area did, to me, the follow-up, it's not the council's fault, it's an environment issue, and they can't take them to court. So the whole system's wrong for illicit dumping, and there's no deterrent there for anybody who's in disposing of commercial waste not to dump it. And to know where it be, I live on the road that the nearly media site's on, and that's where it be dumped, or down the carriageway, and nobody can remove it because it's on private land. So I have a shift. I just would like to know what you mean by the future options for any commercial, because it did go on to hinder people coming in because they have to get everything weighed that they're coming and delaying the queue of traffic for that the residents are coming in with non-high vehicle, or what we do at the minute. I'm just not sure about that, and that's why I want clarification before we dot our I's and cross our T's on option 3. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor McKeown. But Andrew's going to come back on that.
Thank you, Chair. Refer the Councillor to Appendix 1 of the report, which sets out the current mechanism for charging for commercial waste, and it's essentially on the basis of volume. It's not on the basis of weight at the moment, because we don't have the ability to weigh all of the vehicles at all of the sites. The ideal situation, which I know some councils have adopted, and the difficulty is that then limits which sites you can take commercial waste to, is that the vehicle is weighed in and weighed out. And the difference, obviously, the net, if it's commercial waste, is then charged at a rate which is similar to the processing rate that it costs the council to have the material processed. So the system at the moment is based more on volume. The ideal scenario, which would have a cost to it because it involves weigh bridges, would be to look at weighing only commercial waste in order to make sure that basically that old adage that the looter pays.
That's the issue I have. I mean, we have a system at the minute where you don't, it goes by the look of the thing. So if they're coming in with a trailer load, they're charging the tenner or 20 or whatever it may be. Do you know what I mean? So, and it's not weighed. It could be worth 100 pounds. But I think we're going to come back here with a report to say, oh, guess what? Back in 2022, at the committee meeting, it's great to look at the future and disposal of commercial waste, and we agreed that we're going down the route of weighing everything that's coming in through the case. It's going to cost another portion. And my fear is that the litter dumping is then going to increase more, because it's only dumping the litter thing at the minute. And we're going to occur as well.
Sure, I'm not quite sure if we're talking at the same wavelength, to be honest, but I mean, this approach has been in place for some time. And that's the way commercial waste was charged for. All we said in the report is that we'd just like to explore the options of using weight as a determinant for commercial waste, not commercial waste, just for commercial waste, because at the end of the day, the legislation requires the council to levy charges that will cover the cost of collection and disposal of commercial waste, because whilst it's included in domestic waste, it's not included in the commercial waste. So that's what we said. We haven't said that we're changing at this point in time. We are caught with what's there at the moment. And as I said, I mean, there are some sites which aren't on the list for commercial waste, which do have weigh bridges, which could take commercial waste. And there are other sites like Hamlock and Kilkeel, which don't have weigh bridges. So the likes of Crossmaglen, for example, has a weigh bridge and could be used. Dunpatrick has a weigh bridge, but they're probably not the appropriate sites to be putting commercial waste into. So If we're going to move down the pay by weight approach, which I think is the fairest method, because it takes into consideration the weight of the material, and that's how we pay for material to be processed. I mean, residual waste costs in the region of £120 a tonne to be disposed of, so converting it into volume is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. Unfortunately, it's what we've got at the moment. But all we were saying in the report was that we want to explore, if we could, the option of paying by weight at those sites which currently accept commercial waste.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. With a couple of comments then. Councillor Casey, have you had a comment?
It's just a one for me second what Declan had proposed there, and pick up something that Sinead said earlier on there, but what was agreed in 2019. Councillors sometimes do have selective amnesia, seem to forget what they did agree to a number of years ago. And then Glenn now, just because he bought a bigger Jeep, wants the whole policy changed. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark?
Sure.
Here's Councillor Clark.
Apologies, Chair. No, I've listened to all the commentary, and everybody's got a valid reason, for the words that they speak. I think what we have to focus on, it's a household recycling center. It's residents we have to look after in regards to moving forward. I think option three is a way we can do that. The commercial waste, that has to be explored further, obviously. You know, there's a lot more detail will have to be honed in on. So I think we should focus on the household recycling centres, the people with blue badges, the people with like camper vans, the people who are genuine residents of the area, who are not doing that, they're not dumping commercial, not bringing commercial waste. So I think we should focus on that at the minute and give it a period of time to evolve. But I think option three is tackling this outline. I think that's the best way forward.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Murphy, were you happy to propose option three?
Yeah, I
propose
option three, yeah.
Okay, can I get a attorney? Councillor Casey, for a second. Okay, folks, so we have a proposer and a seconder there, so we are going to go with option three, which is recommended from the new proposal. So thank you.
Chair, just want to clarify that everyone is not ready, because Councillor Sidney,
okay,
do
we need to go through a vote?
We can just ask if everybody
is in agreement. Is everyone in agreement or?
Yeah.
I didn't get a seconder yet.
So, Chair, if there's no seconder for that, it's just go ahead.
Okay. So, I have to go ahead? Okay, thank you. Okay, can I get a proposer and a seconder to go to closed session, please? Thank you, Councillor Andrews, and seconded by Councillor Bennett. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to come out of closed session, proposed by Councillor McKevin and seconded by Councillor Curran? Thank you. Okay, whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 6, the business case for driver CPC training and assessments and motor training. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it agrees to approve the business case in Appendix 1 for the procurement of driver training, including driver CPC, induction and refresher training and assessments. Item 7, R21, Joint Committee Members Monthly Bulletin, dated the 25th of August 2022, on the proposal of Councillor Casey, seconded by Councillor Murphy, agreed to note this bulletin. Item 8, R21, Joint Committee Meeting, in Committee Minutes of 30th of June 2022, on the proposal of Councillor Casey, seconded by Councillor Murphy, agreed to note these minutes. Thank you. So items 9, 10 and 11 are all for noting as well, and I'm just going to take them in red if anyone has any queries they would like to ask, just put it in the chat. If not, could I get a proposal and a seconder for items 9, 10 and 11, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Murphy in the chamber. Okay, folks, that concludes our meeting for tonight. Thanks very much. Oh, sorry. Councillor Casey, do you have a question?
Sorry, there's a bit of a delay there. I just typed it in, but didn't come up all that quickly. Okay. It's to do with litter warnings on the litter report. Do you ever consider getting money together to get litter warnings? I know we spend a lot of money scaring street litter and stuff like that on people. It's all about educating people not to litter to begin with. People just arbitrarily throw a cigarette packet away or tin of Coke, empty tin, whatever. Do we ever think of getting litter wardens together and trying to make a few shillings out of it at the same time? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. Should we have you come back on? Yes, thank you, Chair.
We do have enforcement officers that carry out duties under the letter order. We currently have two permanent staff members, two permanent both sides of the district. We also have a number of seasonal enforcement officers within the payroll budget. However, we've had difficulty in filling those posts, and been only one through the summer season, and we're proposing to look towards recruiting those shortly, and going just for a refresher on recruitment for those posts. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, if there's no more questions or comments, we wrap up the site. Thanks very much for attending, and we'll see you at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.